Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the podcast, and I'm in studio with my good friend Michael Hyatt. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Stu. How about you?
I am doing just great.
Awesome.
This episode is going to be fascinating for a lot of people because we're going to be discussing a subject that we all struggle with at some point in our life.
Yep.
Many times people never really get a hold of this thing, and that mystical thing is balance.
Yes.
And so I want to start this conversation by asking you, is there such a thing as life balance?
No. No, just kidding. Yes, there is, but it depends on how you define it. And I really had an insight into this recently when I took a mentoring group on a ropes course. Have you ever done one of those?
I have never done a ropes course.
Okay, it's awesome. It sounds a little hokey.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a little bit cheesy. It's what you always do for team alignment, leadership, and all that. But it was actually a great experience. And like most great experiences like that, it served to be a metaphor for a lot of different things, including balance. And it wasn't that scary because most of the time we were on ropes that were, you know, like a foot off the ground and you're trying to balance on those ropes. There were a few things that were a little scarier, but nothing that we could really get hurt from. But what I really learned was that as we were going on these two teams, going on these ropes, trying not to fall off, because when you fall off, you lose points, that balance often felt like imbalance.
Huh.
In other words, the times when you were really in balance, the times when you had your equilibrium, the time when you were the least danger of falling off, were times when you're constantly correcting, adjusting, moving around, and it felt like you were off balance, but in fact, you were on balance.
So, but if you tried to stay perfectly still, there's a high probability you would have fallen off.
That's right. If you were static, you're going down.
Yep. Interesting. And so for you, you kind of took this whole experience as a metaphor to how it relates to life balance.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of times people think life balance means that you're in a period or a season of life when you can evenly distribute your time and your energy and your focus so that you're spending the same amount of time at work as you're spending in your personal life. And that's never going to be possible.
Mm.
You know, I define balance this way. Balance is spending the appropriate amount of time in each of the major categories of life so that you're in balance. And that looks different in different seasons.
And right. And so for you, what I'm hearing is that you're never going to be perfectly balanced, but it's always going to be this back and forth flow, if you will.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. And so fortunately for us, there are a few key truths when it comes to balance in our
yep.
lives and can really inform our approach to this whole life work balance. And so you have 3 vital aspects of balance that we need to keep in mind as we look to have that back and forth. So let's get into that. What's the first aspect?
The first one is that balance is not the same as rest.
Hmm.
Usually when people talk about they need more balance, what they're really saying is, I got to get some rest. You know, I'm worn out. I'm tuckered out, as we say in the South, and I just need some rest. And balance is something very different than that. I think if you're in balance, you're getting an appropriate level of rest, but it's not the same as rest. And so I think sometimes when we're talking about balance, that's a question we need to ask, you know, and that's where I go first. You know, I might say to you, if you're saying, man, I'm just out of balance, well, tell me about your rest.
Hmm.
You know, what are you doing to rejuvenate? What are you doing to recreate? What are you doing to reflect and, you know, and get rest? How much are you sleeping every night?
Yep.
Because that's not the same as balance. You can still be getting rest and not be balanced, but that's the first place I would go.
And so rest in and of itself is it's like a piece of the whole balance.
That's
but
right.
It's really not it in its entirety.
It's more than that.
And when people feel like they're burnt out or they're out of balance, it could just purely be based on they haven't got enough rest.
They haven't got enough rest. And I think that's one of the first and most important things that we have to tend to. In fact, when somebody is burnt out, when somebody's stressed out, when they're overwhelmed, or they say they can't focus or they're not being productive, that's absolutely the first question I always ask.
Right.
You know, are you getting adequate rest? Because if you're not, it'll lead to lack of productivity. It'll lead to not being focused. It'll lead to all those other things. So you really got to start with that.
Gotcha. Okay, so the first aspect of balance we need to keep in mind is that balance is not the same as rest.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What's the second aspect?
The second one is that balance is dynamic. Remember the metaphor about standing on the ropes course? You know, we were constantly jostling around, holding onto each other's shoulders, holding onto the trees, doing everything we can to keep from falling, because it's a dynamic thing. It's constantly changing. And that's true with life too. You know, your boss asks you to work late. One of the kids gets sick. You know, 1,001 things can happen to throw us off balance. But the key is to be able to stand upright, to remain upright in the midst of those challenges that come at us. And so it's dynamic, ever changing. So if you feel like, gosh, I just want to get to a place where I can, again, back to rest, get to a place where it's static, that's not going to happen.
Mm.
The thing that you can hope for is that you can make these micro adjustments and flex with it. So for example, I know there've been times when I've been out of balance at work, you know, where I've had to give a lot of attention to work. And what I try to do now is build in time for recovery so that I've got that sort of the yin and the yang, you know, the surge and the rest.
Yeah.
So that if I've done like a video shoot like we're doing here for several days in a row, then I've got time built in where there's a free day or a couple of free days where I can just rest and recover. So to counterbalance that work with an opportunity to rest and recover.
Right.
So it's that kind of dynamic relationship between the two.
And it's interesting too, because I've found something similar in my work life is that when I'm away on a shoot like this and I get back the next day, even though I may arrive, let's say, home on a Wednesday, which is typically still part of the work week, and so it's scheduled for work time, but I need that time to just kind of recuperate where it's not, I don't have to do any heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Is basically. And so I still have time for family. Like that's all,
right.
That's my weekends, and that's certainly, you know, after 4 p.m. So even though it's a work day, technically when I get back, it's not as intense as it would normally be, or I'm scheduling time just to kind of recuperate.
Well, the cool thing about being an entrepreneur is you've got more flexibility and freedom to design your life.
Yep.
So if you need those sort of compensatory days to compensate for that heavy work schedule, you can build those in, right? So nothing says that your weekends have to be on the weekend. You can have those rest days in the middle of the week. It's a little trickier if you're working for a company.
Right.
But it's still possible. And one of the things I used to do when I was in the publishing world, and frankly, it was easier when I had a boss before I became the CEO, but before that, I would just negotiate. You know, I would go in and say, hey, look, I'm going to this trade show. I'm going to be gone for 7 days. And I just want to make sure if it's okay with you if I take in some days to compensate for that weekend. I'm not using my vacation days.
Yeah.
You know, and in those days, we had sick leave also. I'm not using any of my personal days. I'm just saying that because I'm working, I'm using two of my days, the weekend,
right,
for this trade show. I want to spend next Thursday and Friday and take those off. Is that okay with you?
Right.
And almost always, you know, unless the boss is a total jerk.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get that. You know, if they don't get it, you probably should start the process of looking for another job.
Right, right. And so what you're saying here is it's always going to be changing. And another good example is the different seasons of life. I know
right.
You talk about that. You know, I'm in a different, totally different season of life than you are.
Totally.
I've got young kids. Your kids have now grown and they've started families of their own. So it's two totally different seasons of life.
Yeah, for example, it's easier for me to sleep in if I want to.
Right.
Now, I rarely do that. I just have an internal alarm clock that wakes me up usually at 5 a.m. every morning. But I can if I want to. This weekend I slept until, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I slept until 7 in the morning.
Look at you indulging in yourself.
but I had the freedom to do that. When you've got small kids like you do, you don't always have that freedom.
Right.
Right? You wake up when the kids wake up. And that's why I said to you previously that sometimes you just need to give one another space to
right.
give Amy, in your case, the opportunity to go off and just get some rest.
Yeah.
You know, get back in balance, get some equilibrium back in your life.
Right. Okay, great. So what we're talking about here is work-life balance. And Michael is sharing different aspects with us that are going to help us to keep in mind as we look to manage that work-life balance. And so far, the first two aspects, balance is not the same as rest, and balance is dynamic. We're going to get to the next aspect right after this quick break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 proven strategies for creating more margin for the things that matter most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
And welcome back. We are talking about how to finally achieve life-work balance, and we're talking about several aspects that we all need to keep in mind. Michael, you outlined the first two so far, which is balance is not the same as rest. And number two, balance is dynamic. What's the third aspect we need to keep in mind?
The third one, and the most important one, is that balance is intentional. In other words, like so much of life, it's a caused thing. It's not just going to show up on your doorstep and say, here I am, balance, everything's cool. You have to cause it. And I think it begins with your intention to create something different. And it really is achievable, but it begins with a plan. And I think it begins with clarity around what that will look like for you in this season of life. So for you, for example, okay, let's just take you as a subject. What would it look like for you if you had work-life balance right now?
Well, I would definitely have dedicated time for the family.
Yep.
So for me, that would be daddy-daughter dates every week with my little daughter. That would be daddy and son dates, if you will, you know, where there's dedicated time where we're just hanging out together. There would be time definitely for exercise. And so that's individual exercise, like running or swimming, but then also like team sports. So I love playing team sports, usually once or twice a week. There would be time for my wife, you know, dates with her. And not just like time where we're going to get groceries or, you know, we're doing family stuff, but it's like just her and I time, you know, we're just
time to look in one another's eyes and
connect. Just connect and chill. And then I also like work time. Like I really enjoy work. And so, you know, time to just focus on the different activities that I have in work. And I like variety in my work. So it's not just I'm doing the same thing over and over again, but intentionally having time for, you know, this area of my business, this area of my business, and that area of my business.
Well, I think what you're pointing out is that you've got to be able to articulate it. You've got to be able to dream and imagine it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that requires suspending disbelief. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of people think they can't have work-life balance, that just like it's out of the question right now, and they don't even want to entertain the thought.
Right.
You know, they've immediately got reasons why they can't be in balance. And I just had this at an experience at a family reunion recently where somebody was telling me that very thing, why they couldn't have work-life balance at this season in their life. And so I made a couple different runs at it, but I realized there was something else driving this person's comment that was keeping them from getting work-life balance. And I didn't ever share this. I wasn't able to. They weren't really open to the input. But a lot of times we're out of balance intentionally because it gives us a sense of significance.
Right.
You know, I'm so important. I'm in such demand that it requires me to be out of balance. But once you realize that you have agency, that you could create a different outcome if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's holding a gun to your head. You say, well, I have a terrible boss. Well, why are you working there? Well, I couldn't get another job. Really? I mean, you may not be able to get another job right now.
Right.
But if it's such a onerous situation that it's affecting your work-life balance, you're not giving attention to things you know you should give attention to, like the things you outlined, like your health, like your family, then why wouldn't you set an intention that you're going to get out of that job?
Right.
It may not be today, it may not be this week, it may not be this year, but to come up with an exit strategy so that you can have a life. Designing your life the way you want is always a possibility. And I just accept that as a fundamental premise. You know, unless you're a slave or somebody has a gun to your head, you have options. The question is, do you have the will?
Well, and one of the things that I like, that I've learned from you, is how you are intentional about creating and designing your life and the way that your business operates. And I can think of a very specific example. I'd love to talk to you more about it. And that is how you take your 1 month sabbatical. A lot of people would think, golly, like, Michael is like the luckiest guy on earth to be able to take an entire month off of work and just not be thinking about work or have anything to do with work. But you've been very intentional about that. And I know even more down the road, you're planning on taking not just 1 month off, but you're planning to take 2 months off, and then I know even further down the road, one of your plans is to take a month off like every quarter.
Quarter, yeah.
And so talk to us about that, like, because I think that there's intentionality about your regular everyday schedule there, and then there's intentionality around your yearly schedule mm-hmm. and in terms of what you want to, how you want to have the balance on a yearly scale as well.
Well, again, it begins with suspending disbelief that I can't do that and saying, okay, what do I really want? Do I really want that time off? And then getting really clear on why that's important. So for me, having that 1 month sabbatical, I have great clarity around the why. You know, it gives me an opportunity for an extended period of time to connect with Gail, to really kind of find myself again, to get reoriented to why, to what my calling is and all the rest of that. So I get clear on the why. And then I ask myself the question, what would have to be true for me to be able to do that? What would have to be true in my personal life? What would have to be true in my business? And it may require changing the way that your business operates. Or if you're working for somebody else, it may be you've got to negotiate with your employer. You've got to figure out how to do that. You know, maybe it's the reward you get for accomplishing some big goal. And maybe it's not 4 weeks, but maybe it's 2 weeks, or maybe it's 3 weeks. But all of this can be negotiated, but it has to first be imagined. I was with my doctor the other day, and I was talking to her, and I was talking about going on my sabbatical, and she was like, oh my gosh, that just sounds incredible. I'd love to do that, but that's a lot of years off. And so I just took that as an opportunity, and I said, why do you say it's a lot of years off? And she said, well, I couldn't possibly do it now. I said, you couldn't possibly do it now? I said, really? And she said, well, I don't think I could. And she kind of got the drift of where I was going.
Yeah.
And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, first of all, you need to do this next year.
Yeah.
She said, really? She said, do you think I could? And I said, absolutely you could. You're just one intention away from doing it. I said, if you set this, if you put it on your calendar and said it was going to happen next August, for example, what would have to be true in your practice in order for you to make that happen?
And I love that question. I've heard you ask that question many times, and it really opens up your thought process. Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, what would have to be true in your practice or your business or your job in order for that to happen?
That's a very important question for people to think on.
Well, and so she started dreaming a little bit with me. She said, well, I guess I would have to make sure, first of all, I had the income part of that covered.
Yeah.
And I had it worked out with my patients ahead of time so they weren't depending on me for that. And if there was an emergency, because she's a solo practitioner, if it was an emergency, where would my patients go?
Yeah.
And so she started thinking creatively, and that's exactly what I wanted her to do. And so I said, you absolutely have to make this happen. Make it a priority. I said, you don't have to wait for years, because if you wait for years, it'll never happen.
Yeah, totally.
You got to make this happen next year.
And so I want to share a thought process that I've had that I would love to get your input on, because I know that others who may be listening have had a similar thought process, and that is almost feeling guilty for taking that time, you know, and trying to find that balance, because we do live in a world where it's the busyness is a badge of honor, and so taking the time can almost, you can almost feel guilty. You can feel guilty with your, you know, other people on your team. You can feel guilty with business partners per se who may not share the same philosophy. How would you deal with that?
Well, part of it is we have to derive our sense of self-worth from something other than our job. There's a novel thought. But in so much of our contemporary society, we derive who we are, especially men, I think, have this problem more than women even, that we derive our sense of well-being, our sense of identity from our work.
Right.
And so that if we're not working, we don't know who we are. But when you decide that you're going to have an identity outside of your work, and it's going to be about how you're managing your overall life, then all that other stuff becomes important. Because I'm more than my work. You know, I love photography. I love fishing. I love relating to my family. All of those are part of my identity.
Yeah.
And so that now, if I'm only giving attention to my work, I feel like I'm deficient. But I've redefined that for myself. And I think for people to get this work-life balance, they've got to define that as a desirable state that they're going to try to achieve. And most people aren't so sure they want it. They say they want it.
Right.
They use it as a way of complaining about their work. But when you really, you know, push comes to shove and you say, okay, well, what would that look like? That's why I was so pleased when you had a pretty quick answer for how it would look like for you, because you've been pursuing this.
Yeah, I've definitely, it's been something that has been on top of my mind ever since I started my career. And a lot of it, for me, I when I go back and I think about where does my drive and where does my intention really come from, a lot of it was growing up with the parents that I had who were amazing parents. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was young, I remember looking at my parents thinking, golly, like they're so incredible because they were so supportive of my sister and I in every aspect. They were at every basketball game, soccer game, track meet, doesn't matter. They were always there. Very encouraging and helping us develop a real belief in each other. But the one thing that was out of whack was that they both worked incredibly hard and yeah. long hours. And so even though they were there for us, they both sacrificed every other aspect of their life. So their balance was really work or kids. There was no, you know, personal enjoyment in terms of like the things that they loved to do. Like my dad would be playing guitar or like in theatrical plays. And my mom has a whole bunch of outside interests too. And they never really got to explore those. Mm. And I remember growing up thinking, there's nobody that works harder than my parents. But there are people that are enjoying other aspects of their life. So there's something that they're doing different. And so what is it that they're doing differently? And that really set me on a path to being more intentional about really encompassing the other areas of life that I do enjoy in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that it comes to this third point or this third aspect, and that is, you know, the balance is intentional. You've got to be intentional about it. And then, as you said, once you get clear on it, then your creative juices begin to take over in terms of how could you really design
this. How could you make that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll share another tool also that's been helpful. We'll put this in the show notes. I think I did a whole episode on this way back. But the whole idea of designing your ideal week.
Yeah.
You know, what would that look like? If you could have your ideal week, and I've got a tool, it's an Excel spreadsheet where you can actually design this and people will be able to see my ideal week, at least at the time I did that particular podcast. But it shows, you know, what is the time that I've got blocked out for work? What's the time I've got blocked out for sharpening the saw and really making sure that I'm taking care of myself? What's the time I have blocked out for my family? Now, no given week looks exactly like that, but it gives us a template to pursue so that my assistant and I can both pursue. That's what we're always trying to make happen.
Mm. Can you share quickly a couple examples of things that you're intentional about? Because you shared one already that if you are coming off of a business trip, you like to have, you know,
that recovery time.
A recovery time. Are there other things that you're very intentional about like that?
Yeah, I'm really intentional about guarding my morning time. This is a time for self-care, and my basic philosophy is that if I don't take care of myself, I'm not in a position to take care of anybody else. Mm. And I really want to live a life of serving others, but I can't do that if I'm not taking care of myself. If I'm sick, if I'm emotionally strung out, if I'm spiritually depleted, I don't have anything to give. So those first couple of hours of every morning, I'm very intentional about doing that. In fact, I don't take any appointments now till after 9:30. Because that first part of the morning, I'm just spending time sharpening the saw, so to speak.
Yep.
So that's an example. Another example, you know, I am very deliberate about spending time with my parents. So my parents are in their 80s, and I make sure that that's on my calendar every week to go visit them. They're only about 15 miles away. But it's still, you know, I have a busy life too, and it'd be really easy to neglect that unless I make it a priority and put it on my calendar.
And I know in the past, that was something that you wanted to do more of,
yep.
was spend more time with your parents because you hadn't been spending the time with them that you really wanted to. And now you've made that, you've been become intentional about that.
Well, and see, there's a good example of, you know, instead of just feeling guilty about it and doing nothing.
Right.
And just saying, well, I'm a victim of my circumstances. How could I design my life so that I could accomplish these things that I really want to accomplish? And that's really where it begins. Again, we're not trapped. And I think many people are held prisoner to their own limiting beliefs. You know, they think nothing can change, and yet nobody's holding them hostage. Hmm. You know, they could imagine their way out of it if they could just visualize a different outcome. And again, it doesn't, and this is what frees people up, it doesn't have to happen now. Hmm. But if you could make this happen over a 2 or 3 year period, and get to a different outcome, awesome.
Yep.
But what happens for most people, Stu, I'm afraid, is that they get a job and then they try to design the rest of their life in the margins where the job isn't already consuming their life.
Right.
Instead of saying, what kind of life do I want to have and what kind of job could I get or what kind of business could I create that would serve my life?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point of work. You know, we don't exist to serve our work. It's the other way around.
And I think today more than ever, there's a lot more opportunity and openness for being creative and intentional about designing. Like, for example, on the flight over here, I ran into an old friend that I haven't seen for years. He was the captain of our soccer team at college. And he was a good friend, and we struck up a conversation and reconnected, and I haven't talked to him in probably 10 years.
Wow.
And so I was asking him about his career and so forth, and he's quickly worked his way up the corporate ranks, where he's now in charge. He's the marketing director for North America for a big company. And they wanted, their head office was in Miami, and he lives in just outside of Toronto. And so part of that role was they said, you know, we'd like you to relocate to Miami. And he was very intentional about the fact that he did not want to relocate.
Hmm.
And because it would have a cascading effect on so many other aspects of his life, with his wife and her career, which she's doing phenomenally well, with the kids and with being away from family. And he just felt it was really important for him to stay where he was. And so he renegotiated that into the contract and said, listen, I totally want to come on board for this promotion, but here's my non-negotiables.
Yeah.
I need to stay put, and here's why. And he explained to them, and then they found a creative solution around that.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me about, you know, how they ended up coming up with a very creative solution that allowed him to stay where he is, still be able to manage a team in Miami and so forth. And I think now more than ever, people have that opportunity.
They do, and I think a lot of employers are getting wise to this as well. I told you about talking about Strategic Coach, organization that we've been involved with. And they give their employees 144 days off a year.
That's crazy.
Now, that includes weekends,
yeah.
Granted. But if you figure out the rest of the time that's left after that, it's like, I think, 4 or 5 weeks that they have a year, you know, to be able to pursue other things. They don't answer their email or do any kind of company work on the weekends. But that's an enlightened employer who realizes that when his or her people are refreshed,
yep.
rejuvenated, not working all the time, that they're much more productive and much more effective when they're on the job.
Awesome. Well, we've talked about 3 aspects of balance that we all need to keep in mind. Number 1, balance is not the same as rest. Number 2, balance is dynamic. And number 3, balance is intentional. As we look to wrap up this episode, can you share a few habits that you've put into place to retain
yeah.
your work-life balance? And we've talked about this a little bit, but I want to specifically talk about habits.
Yeah, well, the first one is one that we've talked about on this podcast a lot, and that is to develop the habit of saying no frequently.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel like I'm a no machine. You know, I'm saying no constantly. But I'm saying no so that I can say yes to things that matter most.
Mm.
You know, my family, my most important relationships, myself. I realize that this race we call life is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yep.
And I can't say yes to everything and make it for the long term. So I'm very deliberate about that. And I think we've got to learn to say no more frequently if we're going to maintain balance.
And I love that, saying no so you can say yes to
That's right.
What matters most.
And I think, you know, we've talked about this on a previous episode about Greg McKeown's idea that there's a trade-off.
Right.
Right. So everything I say yes to, I'm implicitly saying no to something else, because this is a zero-sum game. You've only got 168 hours a week. If I spend time because I'm on this board or because I'm doing this volunteer project, I just can't keep adding and adding and adding.
Yep.
Eventually, something has to go. If I'm going to say yes to this, then what has to go in order to make room for that?
Right. Okay, great. So that's one habit
yep.
is that you say no frequently. What's another one?
I think the second one is just to reflect and adjust regularly. You know, put the margin in your life, and I do this with a weekly review and also a quarterly review, but where I'm looking at my life and saying, how's it going?
Yeah.
Because in one sense, it's all a big practice run. It's all a big test. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I always have the opportunity to reflect, review, and say, okay, that was good. This was bad. How am I going to adjust this coming week to make it even better?
And so you're not just reviewing what you're doing in your business per se, but you're reviewing all aspects of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, how did it go with my workout this last week? How was my nutrition this past week? When I was on my sabbatical, it was awesome, but one of the bad things about it was I didn't eat as well as I'd really like,
because right.
I have a pretty strict eating regimen that I like to follow that maintains my blood sugar and keeps me operating at peak performance, and I kind of fell off the wagon. So part of my evaluation was, you know what, I got to get back on track here. Because
yep.
it's going to have a long-term negative effect if I don't.
Gotcha. Okay, so say no frequently, reflect and adjust regularly. What are some other habits?
Third one is listen to your inner circle intently.
Ah.
The people that love you most are there for a reason.
Yeah.
And they can help you to course correct. And so when you're getting that look from your daughter, or you're getting that look from your wife or your son or one of your best friends, you know it's probably time to adjust.
Yeah.
And to really give them permission to challenge you on your lifestyle and whether or not you're living your priorities.
Can I share a quick one that really opened my eyes to this recently?
Yeah.
My executive assistant, Summer, who's amazing, she just had her first child. And so she is on maternity leave. And as a result of that, she has always, you know, served as a great filter for me. And in terms of keeping balance in check, work-life balance in check. And so when she was gone, a lot of those requests were coming directly to me. And being the person who likes to make everybody happy, I was saying yes to a lot of things. Before I knew it, my calendar is like slammed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think much of it in terms of, okay, I was just saying, okay, this is a busy season for me. I'm just going to get through this. And then, you know, I'll get back on track once summer gets back type thing. But where it really hit home for me was recently when I left my 4-year-old daughter. She looked at me and she said, "You're going away again, Dad?"
Wow.
And that was a sign to me that I'm out of whack. I'm out of check. And it comes back to what you're saying. Listen to your loved ones. And it can even be, you know, your young kids.
Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah. And that was something for me that really kind of hit home. And I was like, okay, I need to recalibrate things here because, you know, I don't want it becoming a situation where my kids are noticing that I'm gone and that they're, you know, I don't want it to become a part of a routine because that's not what I want. You know, I want to be home with them and so forth. So yeah, listening to people who love you most, even kids have great insight to this kind of
thing. Well, I'll tell you, I've had several conversations with my wife through the years who's sat me down and lovingly said, "You're out of balance.
Hmm.
You know, you've got to be home. You've got to spend some more time at home, or you've got to get some rest or whatever." You know, things that for some reason I think, and a lot of people think this that are leaders and high achievers, that I'm the exception. The rules apply to everybody else. I can live with less sleep. You know, I can go longer. I have more stamina, whatever. Well, it's not true.
Right.
You know, and eventually it will catch up with you.
Great. So the three habits for everybody: say no frequently, reflect and adjust regularly, and listen to your inner circle intently. If you've enjoyed today's episode, I encourage you to jump over to michaelhyatt.com where you can find the show notes, the transcript, and the video version of today's podcast. Also, if you can leave us a rating on iTunes, we would love it. To go over there, it'll take you 30 seconds to leave a review and rate the podcast. And when you do, that helps us get the show ranked and get it in front of more great people like yourself. So if you could do that, that'd be great. Michael, as we wind down this episode, any final thoughts?
Yeah, balance is not a pipe dream. Hmm. It really is something that's attainable. It's something you'll have to keep working at for the rest of your life, but it really is attainable. The real question is, do you want it? And if you want it, you can set an intention and you can begin to move toward it.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.